שעה.
Shrishama Kaye Shenosa Bas Yisrael Machila Betruma. Now this is the Chulei Alma, because although we had a Machlekes, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, what is the type of service that's Mavkia Yibam? Hakol Maidim, that Lagabe the Isra Petsua Daka, that is only Bidei Adam and not Bidei Shemayim. As a result, there is no prohibition at all of a Stam Bas Yisrael to marry a Sris Chama. So, unlike a Petsua Daka that is not Michael Betruma, because he passes her Lekahuna Bebia, that's the chilek that the Gemara wants to make, the mission wants to make. In other words, it's juxtaposing the idea that if a Sris Chama is Miyabem a woman, according to Rabbi Akiva, she's Psula Lekahuna. But if a Sris Chama marries a woman, she's Kesher L'Kahuna, and therefore she's not Nifstelas. Not only is she Kesher L'Kahuna, she could actually eat Truma from that marriage. Now, Rav Yaisi, in other words, the point basically is to differentiate between the Isser of Petsua Daka versus the Soris, that's Mavkia, the Zika of Yibam. Rav Yaisi, Rabbi Shimon, Imrim. Adreganus Kayin. What about a Kayin that's an Adreganus? So an Adreganus is somebody that literally hermaphrodite, that has simanim of both a Zohar and an Akeva. Now this is really the Mavteach. The Gemara, I don't know how much the Rif is going to be Marich here. I see it's not Marich that much at all. But this is a huge sugya. What is the halachic status of an Adreganus? Is an Adreganus considered to be a Zohar that has a problem? Is it considered to be both a Zohar and an Akeva? Is it a Min Bifnei Atzma? Right, there are different Shitas in the Tanoim. But at least according to Rav Yaisi Rabbi Shimon, Adregen is Kayen Shanasa Bas Yisrael Machila Betruma. So Vais Techois, according to his Shita, an Adreganus is a Zohar Gomor. In other words, he's a Zohar B'Teres Vadai, simply considered to be a Zohar that also has Simonim of Nekeva. Of course, one could raise the question, if somebody has both, why should you automatically, what would be the Svora that Zohar would be a more dominant determination of identity than Nekeva? And it can't be it's a Suffolk Zohar Suffolk Nekeva, because if it would be a Suffolk Zohar Suffolk Nekeva, he wouldn't be Michael or Betruma, because on the side that he's in Nekeva, it would not be a marriage. And the Supreme Court doesn't, can't change that. it wouldn't be a marriage. Elamai, it got to be Behechrich that he holds the Adreganus as a Zohar B'Teres Vada. He's Michael the Bas Yisrael.
He's a Zohar for everything.
Yeah.
This is not the halacha.
It's not the halacha. But although we'll see how the Rif paskins. But the chayra, if he says ad kidei kach, that the marriage to a bas Yisrael is Michael her betruma, this is not a getter of a suffix. This is a getter of he is a Zohar. He can marry. He can give chalisa. We treat him like a Zohar. Now that's interesting. The issue would be this. The issue is, the issue of hermaphrodism is a real medical problem. I mean, it's not a huge numbers, but it is a tragic situation. Now, let's take two. You have to differentiate two situations. You have stop sex changes, where a person that is a man wants to be a woman, or a woman wants to be a man. And then you have sex gender assignment for ambiguous, for hermaphrodites. So Lagabe, the idea of a sex
isn't
thing,
that what they do? They don't almost like everybody at this point, anybody who's born with like that, they, don't they almost always push?
Yeah, generally speaking, yeah, they don't want
to.
So al pi halacha, what's the status? One has to be very careful there. Lagabe, a real sex change. The guy's a man, you want to be a woman, whatever. So there, l'chaira, most paiskim say, number one, it's usher to do the operation. It's usher to do the operation because by definition, if you are removing, let's say a man to a woman, it's easier to understand why it's usher. I mean, the Torah says, Feirish, that Sirus is usher. And certainly in the process of turning a man into anatomically a woman, you are literally castrating him. So Mimela, the operation would be Usher al-Sirus. Now it's interesting, what about the other direction? What about if a person is a woman and wants to become a man? So there, you're removing the Rechem, etc. So that's interesting, Shiloh, because according to the Gra, Sirus Nekeva may only be an Isra Drabbanah. Although it is usher, so that's why a woman cannot have birth control by tying her tubes. But it may only be a drabana. That's an interesting issue if you're a veterinarian, because Sirus Behemah is also usher, right? So Mimela, if you have a dog, if it's a female dog, you can give it to a goy to spay, because there's no isra of Amir Liakaman, it's a shvus to shvus. As opposed to a male, that would be Shiloh with Naiver for the goy. Okay. So
you heard this talking about, as I was talking about here, the only full sex changes.
Yeah, I'm talking about full sex changes. No, there's a secondary shaila, which is maybe even more important, and that is, good, the operation is usher, because Sirus. If it's Sirus Zachor, it's an Isra D'Oraisa. If it's Sirus Nekeva, it's an Isra D'Rabbanan. But maybe the more important question is, if Achar HaMaisa, somebody does the operation, what is the impact? If a man changes to a woman, even if it was an Isra D'Oraisa, is he a woman or is he a man? Or vice versa. Meaning, does halacha recognize ex post facto, b'dieved, the chalais of changing a gender? So that's a big machlekes. There are kama v'kama paiskim that say it is not shayach to change your identity as a zohar in a keva. We're talking about a definitive identity. That was nikva Bishas Leda, and Mimela, even if the man changes to a woman, halachically he's a man. Very, very strange. Meaning to say he could still be Makadish and Isha. He's Chayiv and Tfilin. That's kind of strange. He would daven. Okay, it's hard
well,
to
certain places it wouldn't be
okay.
A problem.
Yeah, I understand. But okay. But the Sitz Eliezer says that even if the SM operation is usher, Lamaisa, he changes. Now, this has very, very great repercussions. If a man is married to a woman and then changes himself into a woman, which happens, a married man, okay? Yeah. So the question is it Mafkia the Kedushin, or she still needs it? His wife still needs a get. Right, okay.
So, now, according to most cousins, it wouldn't be an issue. Right? Nothing really changes.
Most cousins say nothing changes, although right. It's going to be extremely awkward how you play this out. But Lamaisa, according to most poskim, the person is based on what his identity was, Bishas Leda.
What's the makar though? What's the basic makar that a person, that woman knows why? What makes a man a man?
That he was born a man.
Crumbs.
The crumbs knows itself. Chazal didn't necessarily speak about the genetic structure, right. But they say that the status of someone is Nikva Bishas Leda.
Mitam what? Mitam a simit or mitam
This is what he is. The person is defined a certain way. Bidei Adam, there's no koach to be Mishana. In other words, I think you need a raya the other way. In other words, you're saying.
No,
you really don't need a raya that you cannot shake. I think you need a raya that you could shake.
No, because it's just a general question in terms of what makes. Is there any kind of definitive. In halacha,
yes, the genitalia.
Just genitalia.
That's what they say.
And then once the
genitalia were present, then it's like any surgery is like a chavala bialma. It cannot change.
Now, if he's born without a definitive gender.
No. So that's the next question. I first want to address a shinoi gomor.
He had a question once about something in Yeshiva who had a friend who was a man who had an operation to change into a woman.
Yeah.
And she was coming here to visit, and he wanted to know, can you give him a hug?
Wow. No, it depends on the machlokes. Although this is Marisai, this is Marisai.
He was told for sure on the Chalak Pachas. And then in private, it depends if he's attractive or not.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you an issue. There may be an issue like this. There may be an issue. It may be the same shaila as homosexuals having yichud, but in reverse. Meaning like this. Naniach that the man who changes to a woman is still a man, but he's a man that I might be sexually attracted to because she looks like a woman. He looks like a woman. So if the same svara that says that two gay people might not be allowed to have yichud or hug might apply with equal cogency to a man who changes to a woman because there's sexual attraction. So mitzat the halacha, the issue would be mishkav zachar. It wouldn't be, in other words, right. It wouldn't be a female thing, but he becomes a man that I'm sexually attracted to. Memela, it's not going to be, right? So memela, I think mimanushach, I think there would be mitzat the asher. Meaning, if the man is a woman, it's asher.
Sure.
And if the man is a man, he's a man that I'm sexually attracted to, so it'll be like a gay situation where it'll be asher. So I see mimanushach, I think there's a mitzat the asher over there. Okay. But anyway, now the shaila is like this. I'm not making light of the psychological problems a person has with these. But the mice, you have to find other ways.
Is there any Makar we're discussing an idea that a person born a man for whatever reason feels like a woman? Is there anything discussed anywhere? Such a concept or not?
It's a chayli hanefesh. I mean, I understand it. It's a tragedy. Why those things happen? I don't know.
Is it discussed though? Is it discussed as such a concept?
It's only discussed in the sense that people are
there's no
legitimation of the idea. There's no concept since I feel like a woman, therefore I can turn into a woman.
Even the concept of what is something.
It's connected. I mean, the yonim of dibuk. I mean, there are yonim in Kabbalah of dibuk of sometimes a neshama could get into somebody, and you know it's nechlol and that all that shit. Now the question is though, what does halacha say about an adreganus, to be misakin an adreganus, and to assign him one way or the other, right? This is gender. By the way, NYU, you know. By the way, did you go back a second? You know, NYU. This was my mission issue. One of the professors in the English
took a semester off. Came back as a woman.
Right? Yeah, a man came back as a woman. So the shaila was, you know, NYU was supposed to be, you know, an Orthodox institution. You know, what do they do, etc. So it was a big, very, very big shaila. They had to keep her, I think, because she or he had tenure, so they couldn't fire her for that reason at all.
Does tenure agreement have that in there? Like, that it's not considered something that's blatant. Doesn't tenure agreements have this thing? Like, if you do something completely ridiculous, like then you know, if you.
Moral turpitude. Right. You can't call that moral turpitude because the law allows
right,
it.
Right,
so.
Right.
Especially now. This was even before that. Yeah. So, but the rebbeim, you know, why you has issues? Why you has a lot of issues with homosexuality? In fact, they have another issue that in the graduate schools, or maybe even in the undergraduate, they have gay and lesbian clubs. And under federal law, any college that gets government money cannot discriminate against homosexuals. So YU have to be machlit, you know, should we forfeit millions and millions of dollars, or should we say, we'll let them do it because that's their own private thing. So, so YU decided to go with the money. They said they needed the money. So people tying on them. Notre Dame, which is a Catholic college in Terre Haute, Indiana, gave up millions of dollars of federal money not to allow gay and lesbian clubs. YU was not willing to give. All right, so then Notre Dame has a bigger endowment. Okay, but they needed the money less. But that was the time. This is why money is a big yetzirah. This is not the chiddush necessarily, but this is why the Brisker Rav was so adamant about not taking government money for the Maista Sachinach of under Brisk, whatever. They don't take a cent. They were very consistent. Because the Brisker Rav said over and over again, that once you take money, you are meshubit. You are meshubit. Even if the money is initially given without strings, without tanayim, he says eventually you become very, very meshubit. This is really the matzav of the yeshivas today. Most yeshivas, including our Samaya, we take a lot of money. We take what's offered. But lamaisa, that gives the government a lot of leverage to require this and require that and introduce secular, whatever they want to do. So the Biskarov took nothing at all. He refused. In fact, his uncle, it was interesting, his uncle was Rav Meir Bar Ilan. Right? And they didn't really have a good relationship. But Rav Meir Bar Ilan kept on wanting, you know, he wanted to offer things because he was very, very powerful in the Zionist movement. This is pre-state, or the early years of the state. And he was always offering the Biskarov all sorts of money and inducements. He wanted to build him up, and he wanted to help him. Biskarov like absolutely refused to take anything. Okay. So Lagabi the Adragonist. So now we have a different child, and that's the question. The question is, if we usher sex changes generally, do we allow gender assignments of an Adragonist? So Lachara, the Swara would be like this. This would depend exactly on what the halachic status of the Adragonist is. If the Adragonist Alpi Din is a Zohar Vadai, which is what Rav Yasi and Rav Shimon say, then L'chaira there would be no Avla to remove the female vestiges and have him as a Zohar. Because you're not changing anything, you're just... It's like, in other words, it's like cancerous growth. You're simply removing the machala, so to speak, to allow him to function as a zohar. On the other hand, l'chaira, if he is a zohar, you wouldn't be allowed to be mahapach into an akeva. It would be the same thing as any zohar. Now, the only question is, what if he's a suffix zohar in a akeva? Or what if he's a beria bifnei asma? Would you be allowed to change him? So Lamaisa, the poskim are mako, but to me it's not entirely clear how that, in Lumbus, how that works. Because if you're telling me identity is nikva, mishas leida, then the same way zohor or nikeva is nikva mishas leida, would it not stand to reason that safek or beria b'fnei asma, in other words, like this, if you're telling me he who is born a man cannot become a woman, then would it follow that he who was born a suffix cannot become a definitive? Or maybe not. Maybe not. Some of the poskim argue, no. When something is a suffix, that means there is no assignment, so you can be kaveya, meaning you can't be seiser a kaveyas, but in the absence of a kaveyas, you could be kaveya. That would be the getter. So Lamaisa, again, it's a tragic situation. This is really a tragic because this is a physical reality. Lamaisa, the poskim do allow gender assignment of an adragonus, but it depends how you paskin. If you paskin vadai zohar, it has to be zohar. If you paskin safek, you'd be allowed to go either way. Now, I believe, you know, the best gender reassignment facility in the world is Johns Hopkins Hospital. I believe that is one of their mumchias. I believe that there's a tendency, surgeons like to make people female more than male.
It's easier. Yeah.
It's easier. You just have to remove different stuff. So that might be halachically problematical, depending on how you paskin by
if it's a Badai Zohar.
Yeah, if it's a Badai Zohar. But the mice, we don't paskin Badai. Did Rambam paskin this? Let's see, how do we... Okay, we'll look up the Rambam exactly, how we paskin. We'll see. It would really depend on this Mishnah. So that's going to be a problem, meaning to say, if Rahman al-Islam, you have a firm couple, let's say you have a firm couple, and they have a baby that's hermaphrodite, it may be lahalacha, they would have to insist he be made a zohar. And
if
not
the,
in
the
cave.
Determination was made that this is in fact enough there.
Yeah, if an adragonus has a din of a zohar, you could only be kaveya him based on what he is. You wouldn't be allowed to make him in the cave. Yeah.
If you pass
him
buried from the answer, so what's the anything?
Yeah, according to that, Dein Chanani, because he has a gender. The gender is buried from the answer.
So then,
there are three shitas: Zohar, Safek Beria Bifnei Atzma. So it would only be allowed to be Kaveya if he's a Zachor, you could make him a Zachor. And if he's a Safek, there's a Svara, you could make him something.
Unless Beria doesn't mean gender, Beria means the kind of Beria that can be made into a Zachor or a Kaveya.
Well, yeah, but then it seems to be the same.
So what is his din?
There's a difference between. You could say suffix means I just don't know. He's one or the other. I just don't know which.
Yeah.
Whereas Beria Bifnei Atzma, no, he's the kind of thing which is by definition both and neither.
He's both. So that's the question. If he's both, that would allow you to go either direction, or you can't. You have to keep him as both. So let's see. I mean, in the Gemara itself, the Rif is very makatsa here, what we're going to see. The Gemara itself has three or four blots on this. So let's see how the Rif is passing. Rambam.
The tumtum
is very different, but a tumtum is almost not a medical problem at all today. A tumtum simply means the genitalia are covered, and therefore we cannot tell by visual inspection if he's a Zachor or if she's an Akeva. So today, in fact, the Gemara itself talks about Tumtum Shenikra. You can open them up. Today would be a matter of routine. You just open them up. So Tumtum is really not a problem. Because unless, of course, the Tumtum is an Adragon. But Tumtum per se is not a serious halakha category once you open them up. Because you'll know one way or the other.
You might find an Androgynous.
Right. Androgynous is in fact, it's numerically small, but Androgynous is a significant
But testicles that haven't descended, and they also Androgynous, how do you determine, is that person going to be called a Safek because they haven't descended, or is that person going to be called a Vade Zohar, even if he has symptoms, signs of both?
Then you'd be an Androgynous, right? So you don't...
How do you deal with the Safek and Avada and that kind of thing? Whether you say he's a Safek, because in other words...
We'll see what we pass in the Halacha, but if you say he's a Safek, so like anything else, if a person is a Safek, Zachor, and a Keva, so he's Chayiv in Mitzvos, Kizachor.
Right.
If a man marries him, he's Mekudeshes Misafek, and if he marries a woman, it's a Safek.
So Shenikra, you would open it up, and that would determine also. That wouldn't be
for Tumtum.
Right.
But Tumtum is not going to be much of a problem, but a Dragoness is a problem. Yeah. So let's see how the Rif paskins here, because then we'll check the Rambam. So Vaday, Rav Yosi and Rav Shimon Vaday say he's a Vaday Zohar. Vaday Zohar. Now, Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, Tumtum Shenikra V'nimsa Zohar Lo Yachleit Neshu Kisoris. So here Rav Yehuda adds something about a Tumtum, meaning a Tumtum Shenikra. He was opened up, and we know he's a Zohar. Even if he's a Zohar Vaday Lo Yachleitz, there is no din of Chalitza, because he says by definition, and now he's making a medical judgment here, he says, anyone that is born with the condition of Tumtum, right, the genitalia were undescended, actually, that's probably what it was, will generally, again, it may not be 100%, but he's saying the assumption is he is a Siris Chama. In other words, he's a Zohar. It's not a question of a Zohar. He's a Zohar. But he is a Siris Chama. And like Rabbi Akiva, again, this is another mission like Rabbi Akiva, that a Siris Chama is a Pater from Yibam and Chalitza. That's a separate thing. Okay. Now, the mission then goes back to Adreganus, and it says, Adreganus no say of a lo nisa. Now, this is 100% consistent with the model of Vadai Zohar. An Adreganus can marry a woman. If an Adreganus marries a woman, she is an Ashes Ish. Avolo Nisa. If a man were to marry an Adreganus, it would not be valid. Because the Adreganus, again, this is totally on the Shitas. If you say an Adreganus is a Suffolk Zohar, Suffolk Nekeva, it would be a Kedushin Misuffolk on both levels. If you say Beria Bifnei Atzma, that's also a Shailah, maybe a Kedushin on both levels. But the Tanoim of this Mishnah, again, they're not the only Tanoim, the Gemara brings and Brisa, other Mandiyamrim, the Tanoim of this Mishnah maintain that Adreganus is a Vaday Zohar, and Mimela, he's Nisei, Avoloi Nisei, Now the question becomes, does Rabbi Eliezer change the whole criterion here? Rabbi Eliezer Aimer Chayavin Olav Skila Kizachar. No, Zulchari, that's the same thing. Meaning to say what? If a man were to have relations with an adreganus, there would be a chiyuv skila kemishkav zachor mamish. So Lechera, again, he's, every single time in this Mishnah seems to underscore the fact that halachically an adreganus is a zachor vaday. Because if we say it's a suffix, there would be no chiyuv misa. If an adreganus is a suffix of a suffix mikela, then a zachor that's with an adreganus is not going to be chiyuv misa. You're not mamish misuffix. So the Mishnah here holds an adreganus is a vadai zachor. Okay, let's see the shtickle gemara of the Rif. So the Rif then brings Amar Rav Leso lemas nisin mekame brisa. We are matcha the Mishnah because of the following brisa, meaning we don't paskin like the Mishnah. Disanya, Rabbi Yosi Aimer, Adreganus Beria Bifnei Atzmohu, V'loi Hichriu Bo Chachamim Im Zachor Im Nekevahu. So here already we have difficulties in the Lashon. Rav Yaisi says two statements, and the two statements aren't necessarily the same. One statement is an adreganus is a new type of creature. The adreganus is a combination of Zohar and Nekeva. He then says the Chachamim were not machria if it is a Zohar or if it is a Nekeva. Now that implies suffix, meaning it might be a Zohar, it might be a Nekeva, the Chachamim were not Machria. Beria b'fnei asma normally it seems to mean it is a third gender. Unless that's not what it means. Unless Beria b'fnei just means because it is a composite, it's gerechid as a suffix.
Which would allow us then to be makeled by the surgery.
Yeah. So if you learn that Beria b'fnei asma just means it is a composite creature whose identity is unknown. Now, what dinim would that change? And the Gemara says that the halacha is like this brisa. So, what dinim would change over there? Number one, if an adreganus married a bas Yisrael, she could not eat truma because maybe he's in a keva. Number two, whether it's nisei v'nisei, you'd need a get misafek. And number three, if a man would be with an adreganus, you could not be mechayev misa al smishkav zachar, because it would be a suffek, and suffek nefashes lahakim. But what this would mean regarding gender reassignment is this would be a kula that you would be allowed. Well, that's not so much. In other words, you want to say you could go either way with him. In other words, I had said before that if he's a Vadai Zachar, you have to make him a Zachar. The question is, if it's a Beri B'fnei Asma of Lo Hichriyu, would that give you the freedom to make him in the Keva? I'm not sure, because if on the side that he's a Zachar, he's Chayiv in Mitzvahs, that's a Mat Nezach. In other words, unless you're going to say, no, if something is a Suffolk, then you have the koach to be kaideya. Maybe that's it. Meaning,
it's better anyway to make a zachar just in case, even if you hold one shita, just for the other shita, no?
Yeah.
Meaning, is there ever a mitzvah? I guess the doctor and someone said that it's just not possible, it's too hard and risky to make it into a man.
It really depends. It depends on how developed the male genitalia are. You know, if the male genitalia are fully developed, then to make him a man is not much more difficult than making him a woman. You just remove the female stuff. But often, in these cases, the male genitals are very, very undeveloped, and they have to be surgically, you have to put in stuff. And that is more difficult. So it really depends on the development. Sometimes it's called micro penis, whatever it is, things like that. That's when they don't want to, it's easier to remove them.
It's allowed halachically, we do generally allow, if the doctor would say, listen, it's really difficult to make it into a man.
No.
Well, I guess you get another question. Which I don't even have a clear yad in, and that is, what degree of presence of gender characteristics make a person androgynous? For example, you can have a woman, mamish, 100% woman, who has a shtickle, you know, shtickle male development. In other words, it may be that if it's really so minuscule, it may not count. In other words, it may not rise to the level of androgynous at all. So I think in a lot of these cases, even though there's a gender reassignment, halacha, see, that's all, it may not be an androgynous halacha because you don't really have developed genitalia of both types. I don't have a yad in that. You have to look at the anatomy very, very carefully. That would be the first. That's an interesting point. That's the first thing you gotta do. You take the baby to a paisek. The paisek has to determine: are we dealing with an androgynous? Because if it's not an androgynous, then you can do what you want. In other words, you follow what is the dominant thing.
And listen, even if there is some sort of appendage or something, usually you can figure out from the inside. A doctor can say where the urinary. You can know what it is.
No, that's what I'm saying. So a lot. The mere fact that there's some vestige of the opposite gender is not kaveya, a genuine hermaphrodite. So just because they're removing surplus stuff, you know. Right. So that wouldn't even be our sugya. That wouldn't even be our sugya. Our sugya is only when there's a kavias of androgynous. So that's already that's a kind of a medical question.
Do we ever go buster internal simanim, like ability to reproduce, or is it only an external genitalia? Would you look at the fact that she had a rechem, or?
Yeah, so absence of rechem for sure would not be a siman of a zacher, because some women are born without a uterus.
Let's say a male, you see that there's no potential for zera.
It seems most of the posts can look at the external. That's the, you know, again, it's a getter of, this is always a problem, l'nik neter l'malchei yasharis, meaning the simanim that are given were simanim that were able, you know, without x-ray machines, without other things, you know. And the issue, of course, is chromosomal, whether that should be relevant, because you would think genetically, but yet, and yet Chazal are not saying.
It's more chromosomal, it's also more complicated. It's not, we used to think it was just X, 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 Y, but there are other things,
But that's, again, difficult situation. So the halacha, we talk a paskud mayichriyu bo chachamim. Now the Rif just brings the kasha from the Gemara. Why are you matcha the Mishnah because of a braisa? We normally go with the Mishnah. Adraba, lessel the braisa, mekami masnisim. Yes, why are you machria like the braisa? So the Gemara's answer is, v'deshavke rav yase lebarzuke shmamina hadarbe. What's our problem? Our problem is rav yase gufa is in the Mishnah. Like Rav Yaisi. Rav Yaisi of Rabbi Shimon said, Adregin is Kain Shinasa Bas Yisrael Machila Betruma. So Rav Yaisi was of the position that you're Machila Betruma. Now, he has now abandoned his Barzug, Rabbi Shimon. Shema Mina Hadarbe. Well, how do you know? I mean, that only makes sense if the Braisa is chronologically after the Mishnah. Maybe the other way. Maybe Rav Yaisi was convinced by Rav Shimon, and he went over to Rav Shimon's position. Let me see what the Gemara says in that. It's Pei Gimel. top of Pei Gimel. Adraba, Nesel, Mastis, and the Kami Braisa, Hashemin, and the Shmuel, the Chai Shmei, Fidoy, okay. In the Shafke, Rav Yaisi, the Barzuge, Shema Mina, Hadar Bey. Yeah, so Taisus Yishanim asked the Kasha, Im Taimar Minalan Debraisa Iker, Dilmu Rav Yaisi Amar Habraisa Bereisha, Vishamal Rabbi Shimon, Hadamas Nisan, Vesav Vesavra Viamar Nami Kavasei, Vahadra Baby Braisa, Umas Nisan Iker. Ainza Kusha, Dasvara Hu, Damas Nisan Kodma Labraisa. This is actually an interesting historical note. That is, certainly, the Braisos as a work, as a written work, were written after the Mishnah. Although, we often assume that chronologically, the halachas of the Braisa may have been earlier than the Mishnah. In fact, the Braisos may have been, at least the oral Braisos, may have been the Makairis from which you realize it was Shayev the Mishnah. But he tainas that the Masadre HaBraisa would not put, in other words, when they would pin him on the Amar, expressing his position would be his later position, not an earlier position. Otherwise it would be confusing. In other words, there may be Braisas that are earlier than Mishnayos, but the Masadre HaBraisa are not going to put in a Mandi Amar that's mentioned in the Mishnah, that expressed a position that was earlier than the Mishnah and that was superseded.
And so Rebbe didn't know this later Braisa? Why did Rebbe put it? Especially if it's a Bula Halacha.
Well, Rebbe didn't know this.
He didn't know the Braisa, right?
So the question is, he didn't know the Braisa. It was a later Braisa. It was a teaching of the Tanoim after the Mishnah. Although, that's difficult because, Rebbe Yaisi Lamaisa was before the Mishnah. Elamai, there was a Braisa Rebbe didn't know about.
So Rebbe would have held the halacha like this. Rebbe would have held like Rebbe Yossi's previous statement.
Yeah. Okay. There's even a shaila among academic scholars, but it makes sense. The Tosefta, now the Gemara says in a lot of places the Tosefta was Masudr, which is really, Tosefta is really Braisas. It was Masudr by Rav Chiya and Rav Ishiya, which was they were Rebbe's Talmidim. This was right after Rebbe. They put a Tosefta, which literally means an appendix, a Tosfos to the Mishnah. But some want to say again that although they were the final editors, the Tosefta were Braisas that Rebbe was aware of and Rebbe drew in formulating the Mishnah. Which means the Braisas indicated they were teachings of Tanoim that were earlier than the Mishnah. But apparently Tosefta is mechalek as to what types of Braisas would be put into the system. You would not put in a Braisa into the system that contradicts the Mishnah unless it represented a Chazorah. Meaning there's a difference between bringing in other Mandi Amrim versus bringing in the same Mandi Amr that's in the Mishnah and says something else. Yeah. Derek Hager, before we leave this parak, I just want to mention a little bit, because the riff is not Maruch here. If you go back to the Din a few lot ago, that one of the Surim in the Torah, in this week's Parsha, is Ger Amayni Amayavi. Right, so there's a famous verse, beautiful verse from the Briska Rav. If you remember, the Mephorshim say that this was the whole, in fact it's based on the Gemara in Oral and Agadita, that David HaMelech was constantly accused that he was Pasol Lavei Bikol because he was the great-grandson of Rus HaMoaviyah, And Bayez was not allowed to marry Rus because of the Isser of Mayavi. And the Rishayim say that the real reason why Shmuel HaNavi wrote Megillas Rus was to legitimate the Yichus of David HaMelech by saying that Bayez was a Gadol Hador, and Bayez married Rus before Hesya. And this is to be Mashrish the Halacha that the Isser is only male, right? Mayavi. And not Mayavia. So if you remember, Bayez initially said, I'm not going to marry you until Pliny Almaini declines. He has to be given first rights. So Pliny Almaini says, Lai ucha ligali. I cannot, remember Bayez first says, you know, I'm the army, sold the field, you have to be paid to the field. He says, sure, I'll be happy to do it. He says, oh, but it's a package deal, you also have to marry Rus. So Pliny Almaini says, Layucha ligali, I cannot redeem her, pen ashchis es nachalasi, lest I corrupt my inheritance. So Rashi says, Pliny Almaini was an Amoritz, Ta'a, he made a mistake in the din of Amaini v'lo Amaini, meaning he held that even females are usher. And therefore he said, I can't marry because I'll be mashchis my zera, I'll make them pasul lavoi b'kol. First of all, you see that Bayez didn't make any great effort to correct him. Pliny Almaini says, no, can't do it. Bayez, v'ika chasara anashim, Bayez marries her on the spot. So the Piskei Tshuva, I'm sorry, the Shari Tshuva, Shari Tshuva actually says, we see from here that there's no iser of Gnevas Das when it comes to doing a mitzvah. Meaning to say like this. If you are not going to, you know, you're entitled to do a mitzvah, but you think you're not supposed to do it, I'm not mechuyif to correct you. I could chaperayim the opportunity to do the mitzvah, and I'm not mechuyif to be maidia you that you have the right to do the mitzvah. But Bayez is not my idea. Bayez chaps around right away. Okay. But Frek the Brisker Rav, the Gevaldik Akasha. The Brisker Rav says, if according to the Tais of Pliny Almaini, he holds, he's not allowed to marry even the female Moabites, then why does he say, I'm only worried about the impact on my children? He should say, I can't do it because it's a Maisa Avera. You do it, but I can't do it. It's a Maisa Avera. It's like he's saying, I only care about my kids, right? It's an Avera l'shitase. So the emes is, the Marsha and Aral asks the Kasha himself. And the Marsha and Aral says, actually makes Pliny Almaini much more lumdish. He says like this, Pliny Almaini had the following cheshbon. Lididi, it's an Isser d'oraisa to marry a Moabite. But it's only a lav. It's not a kares. Lo yavei. Amani rabbi b'kal Hashem. So mitzad yibam, this is a form of yibam, I can do it because esei doche on a garaisa level. Esei doche lo sasa. But since l'maisa, it's an aveira, there'll be a pagam in my children. That's what the Marsha says, that he's not worried about himself because esei doche lo sasa. Now the Marsha is really a pella. Because esei doche lo sasa, I mean, this is not real yibam. Remember, Rus is the wife of Machlay. Now, what is the relationship of Pliny Almaini? Pliny Almaini is an uncle. Pliny Almaini is Elimelech's brother. Machlon is Elimelech's son. The Ramban himself said that the whole concept of yibam that resonates through Megillas Rus is vadai not talking about a mitzvah chiyuvis of Yibam. Bayez is not a brother, and Pliny Almaini is not a brother. Elamai, the Ramban says, there's such a thing that even if the chiyuv of Yibam is only with a brother, but there is an inyan spiritually that the neshama of the mace is perpetuated by other relatives as well. In fact, Kaidah Matan Torah, it was even with a father-in-law like Yehuda and Tamar, even though that's an erva. So it's a mudmazach, if we're not talking about mandatory yibam, we're just talking about the minyan, an inyan of yibam, on that you're going to say, esei, loche, leisasa, on a mitzvah kiyumis, at most. Unless you're going to say that's part of his amarasis, meaning he knew the din of esei tefilos aseh, but he misapplied it to an optional observance. Okay. This is what the Marsha says. But the Brisker Rav says a different mahalach. And the Brisker Rav actually goes through a Gemara in Aharon, where years later, after David kills Goliath, and the Gemara has a whole maysa that David HaMelech, who was young and not necessarily so tall, put on the Kli Zion of Shaul, and somehow he grew into it. It fit him. And Shaul was wondering, well, who is this person? And Doeg, in other words, is he, because Shaul's already worried, is he Hogan Mamalchus? Is he going to take over? And Doeg HaDaimi, the famous Baal Lashon Hara, says, instead of asking if he's Roy Lamalchus, ask if he's Roy Lavai Bikal, he's from Ritz Moabia. And the Chachamim started donning, and they said, oh, females are permitted, because the Torah says, Al Devara Shalakidmu Eschet, they first wanted to use Lashon Zachar, they said, Moabi and Ammoni is Zachar, not the Keva. That was their first argument. So Dayek says, ah, Lo Yavo Mamzer Bikal Hashem. Is it Mamzer and not Mamzeres? Elamai, Zohar is Kolel, the Keva. Doesn't work. So they then come up with the Swara. Ah, but the Torah says a reason. The Torah says, don't marry them because they didn't give you Lechem Umayim when you left Mitzrayim. They were selfish, they were cruel, they were Tzarasayim. So it's only Darko Shalish Lakadim. The men could be expected to bring to a foreign army. You can't expect the women. So Dayek slugged it up. Dayek said, well, maybe men go to men, but the women could have brought to the women. So you don't. So Mamela, they didn't have an answer. And Dayek was going to say, was going to convince them that the Psak Halacha is, females are prohibited. Until Amasa Ben Yesser, one of David's soldiers, as it were, came in and said, Kach mekublani mi beis dina shel Shmuel Ramazi. I was makabel from Ramazi. That's Megillah Shrutz, really. That it's halacha l'moshe misina that the kevus are mitaris. So the Brisker Rav says that this is the following shalas, I guess. The Rambam says in Hilchos Mamrim that there are two different ways that the chachamim are meiser dinim in terish abal peh. One is through the kayach of drasha, the yud gimel midas. They look at psukim and they interpret them in various ways, and that gives them a kayach of drasha to be mechadesh halacha. Right? That's the kayach of drasha. When the chachamim make a drasha, that doesn't mean they had a direct mesira, halacha Moshe Sinai. It could be a new halacha. This is the kayach they were given. They were given the kayach to look into the Torah, and through the utilization of midos, interpret the Torah. And even if, in some objective way, they got it wrong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then says, if this is what you see in the Torah by using the klolim that I gave you, it is legitimate. It becomes the divine will. It's not that it was the divine will. It becomes the divine will. That's the nature of Psak Halacha. Which means Torah Shebaal Peh is dynamic. It is creative in that way. It's creating a halacha that didn't exist yesterday. That's the idea of a drasha. Then there is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, which is not creative. We're simply transmitting a direct rule that was given. It's not always pashut to know whether a given halacha is mikayach a drasha, because some drashas are also just giving you, showing you how a halacha l'moshe misinai is merumas in the pasuk. The Rambam himself says that there is halacha l'moshe misinai that is menutak from the pasuk. There is halacha l'moshe misinai merumas bikra, and there is drasha, which is a chiddush. Drasha is not halacha l'moshe misinai. So the Rambam says in Hilchos Mamrim, what is the nafgamina between a halacha that's learned out of a drasha and halacha l'moshe misinai? So he says like this. He says, if a later beis din comes later, they have a kayach to say that the drasha is wrong. You interpreted it this way. And the Rambam goes even further, and you don't even need a beis din. Gadol mimenu b'chachmiv minyan. The Rambam says, when do you need a base in gadol mimenu b'chachmiv minyan? That's on pure drabanas, like gezeiros or takanas. In other words, if a base then made a gezeiro or a takana, which is not, that's not a, that's another thing, that's just a drabanan, So a later Beis Din cannot repeal unless they're gadol b'chacham of minyan. But when it comes to drushas, it's interesting, you might have thought the opposite, because the drushas is daraisa, even the Beis Din katan can be mevatel, because they could say that they're looking at the difference is, when they're looking at the Torah as the ultimate authority, they can say, the way we understand the Torah has to have priority over the covered we have to the earlier door. Now, the Kesef Mishnah has all sorts of questions. If that is true, then why can't our Meiraim argue with Tanoim? Why can't we argue with the Gemara? Let's say the Gemara makes a drasha. And we think, you know, so good, we're a Beis Din Katan, for sure. Right, they're going to be problems, according to the Rambam, exactly. Things that are based on drasha. But the Rambam does say, a Beis Din Katan could be Mevatel drasha.
Hilchas Mamre.
Yeah. Masha Enkein Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it's not shayach to argue, because that's an unbroken tradition. So Memela, the Brisker Rav says like this, Pliny Almaini is a much bigger Talmud Chacham than we think. Because Pliny Almaini knows the Halacha, that female Moabites are permitted. But he thinks it's a drasha. So he says, okay, for me, it's fine. I'm Samech on my Psach. But what's going to be if hundreds of years later some Beis Din says not? Which is exactly what happened in the time of Dayek Adami. Lema Freya, my children are going to be puzzled. The answer is, it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, and therefore it's not Shaykh for that to happen.
So
the Brisker Rav says, when it says Ta'ah, it means he thought it was a drasha, when in fact it was halacha l'moshe misinai.
Would it also be a mistake that it wouldn't work with Lema Freya? I mean, just because the Beis Din changes, you're going to go back hundreds of generations, hundreds of years?
That's in a way, that's the Brisker Rav says, that's exactly what the Gemara in Yevamos is saying, because like this, you see from the Gemara in Yevamos that's exactly right, because Dayek HaDaimi was gonna, based on the fact that he convinced people it wasn't a drasha, we were going to pasul David. At the time Baya's marriage was mutter. The answer is Salama Freya. That's what the Brisker Rav says. And that's the idea of Ta'a B'Yamayinu V'Amayinu. Now I saw another vort. This is very, very interesting. From Rav David Cohen. You know, the Rav in, not the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron, the Rav in Flatbush. The American Rav David Cohen. And he says, it was not a Cohen, but he says a Gavalik Adiyak. It's a bit of a pilfer. He says, why does Rashi bring the wrong part of the pasuk? Rashi's lashon is ta'a b'yamayni v'lo yamaynis. That's not the right pasuk. The phrase should be ta'a b'mayavi v'lo mo'avet. Why does it? So yamayni is the first one in the pasuk. So he says like this. He says, this is very brilliant, but it doesn't fit the Gemara that well. He says like this. He says that the Torah actually gives two reasons why you don't marry a Moabite. One is al davar asher leitidmu eschem balechem uvamayim. But it gives another reason. The next book is another reason. Asher sachar alecha Bilam ben Beor, that the Moabites hired Bilam. Remember, it says the Moabites hired Bilam, so memela. We're merachik them because they hired Bilam to curse us. So he brings the Ramban. The Ramban actually says litzdadim ketani, that each reason applies to the different nation. That the condemnation of Mayav is because they hired Bilam. The condemnation of Amayin is they didn't give us water. So Memela like this. What is Dayek's Taina? Dayek's Taina is that the water thing shouldn't exclude women, because women could have given to women. But that's only a consideration with the water thing. But the Gabi hiring Bilam, it's a Dover Pash, and only the men were involved in that decision. So he says, the mistake of Pliny Almaini was he applied the reason of Amayin to the situation of Mayim. Meaning, this actually works with the Christian, because ultimately his mistake was is to drush up like Kipu Eschem Melechem of a Mayim. It's multiple times. Maybe it should apply to women. But your mistake is you're using the reason of Amo, not the reason of Mayav. The reason of Mayav should Vada not apply to women, even Mikayat Russia. The only question is, I mean, it's really a contradiction to Yavam, because Dayig was using the like Kidmu Mayim for Rusa Moavia. Okay, but this is what he says. This is, so his mistake was, the Pliny Almighty's mistake was, he is applying the reason of Amai to Mayav, and then drawing the conclusion that the women should have given water to the women.
To be fair, Dayag doesn't bring up the Pasuk, the Chacham brings up the
Pasuk,
and he's Doicha, right?
He's Doicha, but he
should have Chacham, that's it.
Okay, yeah, but
that could be his thoughts.
No, but the Chacham brought the wrong, Pasuk up. The Chacham, in other words, According to the way the Ramban is saying, the reason why Moab is forbidden is Asher Sachar Alecha Bilam Ben Boor.
That's Kashan Ramban.
Yeah, it's Kashan Ramban. Yeah. Actually, you're right. Ultimately, it's Kashan Ramban. Yeah. This is what Rav David Cohen says. Okay.
Maybe you say
that
even though the reasons are, you know, that the drasha applies to both. That means we know that they have the same din.
Yeah.
So then we meaning what if I can learn from one, I can extrapolate from one to the other.
So whatever halacha you have by the other, you'll have. Yeah, I hear. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Alrighty. Okay. Maybe we'll stop here. For today. Okay. Thank you.